I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we have such a fun guest, Mindy Barnett, and I'll tell you girls all about her in a second. But first, I just have to share because I am so freaking excited. This week, I'm going to Disney. Today is the 13th when this episode comes out, and then I will be leaving on the 15th. And I'm just so excited. I am going with my man. He is taking me to Disney. And yes, he is a Disney adult, which is, I think, quite shocking for people to hear when they've seen him or when they've met him and just the type of guy he is. Like, they don't expect him to be into Disney, but he just is. It must be some like inner child thing, and he loves it. And I do love Disney too, but I have not been in so long. The last times that I went were with my best friends from high school. We went in 2013 and 2014. So basically 10 years ago. I haven't been since. I did go a couple times when I was younger. I actually went for dance competition once upon a time, like way back when. And I always loved Disney. I mean, it's like the most nostalgic feeling. It really brings that serotonin. And so I'm like so happy to be with someone who's into that kind of stuff, because I feel like it depends on the relationship that you get into. If you don't go when you're younger, if you don't go with your family or with your friends, and when you're single, and then you're with someone who is not interested in that, you'll probably never go again really in your life unless you guys decide to bring your kids in the future. But I'm kind of getting to live out my own inner child stuff right now, and I'm so happy about that. So I'm really excited, and of course, I'm extremely grateful to be going, and I cannot wait to tell you girls all about it. There's been so many new things since I last went, so I can't wait to experience it with everything new that they've updated. And I will share when I get back, but next week's episode will be recorded now, basically, so that it could be out already while I am away, but it won't actually be recorded after I get back, if that makes sense. So it'll probably be in 2 weeks. I'll give you girls an update and tell you all about the trip. I cannot believe that it's already here. We were talking about it all summer, and now it feels like it was just yesterday, because I can't believe that the trip is already here. This year is just freaking flying. So that's my little life update. I'm really looking forward to going, but I'm also really looking forward to introducing you girls to Mindy. So Mindy wears many hats. She's a celebrity publicist, an author, and a motivational speaker. She's the author of Intermission and her latest book, which we talk about mostly, You Don't Need to Be a Bitch to Be a Boss. And of course, that title had me hooked. After ending her 10-year marriage, Mindy entered the new world of dating. Out of the game for more than a decade, she was stunned by all of the suitors who came at her at full speed and quickly saw that dating in the digital world was a whole new territory, one that she had not experienced in the past. So naturally, we had a lot to discuss. In this conversation, we're talking all things femininity, hustle burnout, self-care, mental health, the comparison game, why it's so toxic, therapy, dating, and relationships. We cover so many different things. So let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Okay, everyone, please welcome today's guest, Mindy. I am so excited. I was actually just saying to Mindy right before we started recording how this conversation has been a long time coming. We've been in contact for a while. And I think what really like caught my eye with you specifically was the title of your book, You Don't Have to Be a Bitch to Be a Boss. And I was like, wait, okay, I'm intrigued here. Tell me more. So now we have you on. Please, Mindy, introduce yourself to the girls. Tell them all about you.
Thanks, Victoria. I'm really excited to be here with you today. I admire you very much. And thank you for saying that about my book. It is a capturing, captivating title for sure. So my quick 411 is this. I am a publicist. I'm a CEO of MB and Associates Public Relations. And in a nutshell, we're media strategists servicing pretty much the entire country, but we are headquartered in the Philadelphia market. We have offices in New York, and we have a very strong presence in Los Angeles, but have clients kind of scattered all over the US, as I mentioned. I started my career in television news. So I went to school for broadcast journalism, was lucky enough to break into the industry, and I was an anchor reporter for a variety of TV station markets, not necessarily a variety of TV stations in TV, for 10 years, and then segued out of it and went to, as we say in PR, the dark side, and became an entrepreneur, which is all unraveled in the book. Spare you that because that's a very long and twisted story because it wasn't necessarily what I sought out to do. But obviously, the universe speaks for itself, and I'm blessed to have this business and have had it now for 20 years. We turned 20 in December, so that's very
Wow.
exciting. And in addition to that, as I mentioned, I have You Don't Need to Be a Bitch to Be a Boss, which is all about PR and being a female entrepreneur in today's day and age and leading with empathy and being a really great mentor and also being an open mentee to the younger team and things like that. And some juicy stories along the way. And also, I wrote another book called Intermission: How Friendships, Fervor, and Faith Took Me to the Second Act. That was my first book. And that they're both memoirs. The Intermission, however, is more geared towards my personal story of my divorce and, gaining courage to do that and taking a pause between just jumping into, your new quote act of act two. I also had a podcast on hiatus, indefinitely, called The Race for the Ring, where I explored dating in today's digital age, because it's very different today for me than it was the first time around when there was no such thing as an iPhone. Sound like a dinosaur. And then I also have I'm in graduate school. I have a mental health coaching practice called Executive Health by MB, which works with women virtually as well as in person on not just their mental health, but kind of like navigating the choppy waters sometimes of business and very solution focused. And I'll be graduating from Pepperdine University next year with a master's in clinical psychology, and I'll be spearheading a psychotherapy practice also that's going to be geared towards female adolescents and young adults. So there you go.
I cannot help but laugh at the fact that you just like you have so much going on that it honestly, I feel like it overwhelmed me. I can't even imagine being you in that position. That
It's
is
so,
so
yeah,
admirable.
I like to be busy, Victoria. In fact, in the middle of all that, I'm like now thinking of, okay, I'm done school in a year. So, well, what am I going to do? I'll have my
You're like,
psychotherapy
wait.
practice, but what am I going to do with my nights? So I'm thinking I'll like maybe do a bar, I start a bar business, like bar studio or something. I'm not even kidding. Like, all my friends think I'm nuts. Like, are you
You're
ever
like,
going to date?
wait,
I'm
now
like,
that I
yeah.
just said I'll be done next year, that means I need a new project for next year.
Yeah, I know. I like to
That
stay
is
busy.
amazing. Well, first of all,
Thank you.
I'm just, of course, I'm so impressed. I think it is so admirable. It also, I think, has a lot to do with, like you said, like your generation. I even think of like parents and friends of parents that I know, like they always kept themselves so busy. Like they never wanted any downtime. Then there's me and my generation, and we're like taking our naps every day. Like
But that's better.
it's
That's
a very different,
healthier.
it's a different way. It's definitely a
It
different way.
is. I think we're just so accustomed to go, 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 go.
Yeah.
And your generation is more open-minded to mental health
Yeah.
awareness and health and just maintaining healthier patterns and
Yeah.
habits. So yeah, it's not a bad thing,
Yeah,
but
no, for sure. For sure. In a very, very, very minor way, we have similarities because I actually was a PR girl. I studied
you
PR.
were?
Yeah. I studied PR. And then I had my career like outside of when I graduated school. So I did like when I was in college, I did a ton of PR internships, unpaid. Of course, you know the vibes,
Yeah,
like in the
yeah.
city. But I had really good internships. I mean, I was doing, I worked at a beauty PR firm. So we had like Dior, Gucci, like all like the really
Oh,
high
that's awesome.
makeup. It was so much fun. And then and skincare too, like really nice, like SK-II, all those brands, La Mer, like whatever. And
Oh, wow, that
yeah,
sounds
really
pretty
good brand. So
handsome.
I used to get all
Yeah.
free products. I loved it. And then I worked in fashion PR out when I graduated, but it was like pretty quickly after that that I became an entrepreneur. So similar to like what you
Yeah.
said. I mean, I don't have a 20-year backstory. It's a much shorter
That's
version,
okay.
but
You will
a similar
eventually.
pipeline, a
Yeah, I
similar
didn't
pipeline.
either. It's all
Yeah.
good. Yeah.
Yeah,
That's
so
great. Good for
I did
you.
I loved I always recommend PR. Like when I talk to younger girls who are like, I really don't know what to do, I'm like, become a PR major. It's the best. Like I love it.
It is a fun field. It
Yeah,
is.
yeah.
And yeah.
So going into your book, we need to talk about it. And I want to read an excerpt from it th that I saw on your website. And we're gonna talk more specifically about the book, You Don't Need a Bitch to Be a Boss. I know you have the other book as well. This is your newer one, right?
Yeah, this is a newer one. And
Yeah.
it's better for your audience, I think. Yeah.
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 So I went on your website and I was reading an excerpt, and I just want to have you break this all down for us. So
Sure.
this is what it says. Softness is a superpower so many mistakenly suppress, but flaunting femininity at work and in life will lead you to higher peaks to bring in more allegiant masculinity every time. In a world of Me Too, women are struggling with the notion of softness and empathy while living up to the strong suitor persona in order to win at work. Compassion and femininity are superpowers, and toughness and fear will never earn trust and loyalty in the workplace or in life. While many women fight to put on their best bitch face, they should simply slip on a smile instead. So I loved this, and I want to know
Thanks.
what this all means to you and what femininity means to you.
That's a chock full for me. I'll kind of like divvy up what that means for me, and then I'll also share like what it could potentially mean for other people. So for me, I feel as though in today's world, and obviously Me Too is important, and thank God we had that movement. It changed the climate for so many women and gave them courage and strength, and also, put predators at bay for the most part, thankfully. But I think after it, like the aftermath of it was that women are, and even before it, I guess, women felt like they had to be apologetic about being female, right? They had there, it's still, and even in today's world, especially the higher up you go, and it's science and it's data, it's not just my opinion. There are many more men than women, and there's less seats at the table, so to speak. And so women feel as though they need to kind of muscle through and fit in with the quote men and have like more of a masculine edge, to them. I disagree with that. I think that we should embrace, like, women are traditionally, and again, back to science, more empathetic for the most part, where we have much more softer skills, sets, and so forth and so on, overly compassionate, as compared to our male counterparts in the workplace. And they're all great assets and very strong assets for corporate America. So I think if we flaunt our unique traits as opposed to kind of hiding them and sort of like masking them in a sense, so that we fit in and camouflage ourselves to fit in with the masculine colleagues that are in the C-suite, then I think we're going to be much better off. So I think also the other side of that is the fact that a lot of leaders, female leaders specifically, feel as though they need to, quote, be a bitch to be a boss, right? You need to be stern. You need to be strong. You need to be, lead with fear. You need to have people, worried about your next move and that sort of thing, because we're trying to, again, mask and camouflage those softer traits that I just mentioned. And I think that's a huge mistake. I think that for a variety of reasons. I mean, I've never been one to excel when I was led with fear. I think that when you show true empathy and that you care about your employees time and time again, and there's again signs for that too, that people are going to be much more inclined to do well for you in your business or your team. They're going to be more eager to stay late, come in early. If they feel as though they're cared about as human beings and not just, quote, employees, then you're going to have so much more gains than obviously setbacks, for sure.
It makes me think too, because I think someone might say, how do you not fall into that with someone like yourself, who you're so busy, you have so many things going on. And this is just kind of like a sidebar question that came to me as you're explaining. I think a lot of people hear all of the things that you do, and they might affiliate that with masculine energy compared to the more like softer life. Like there's that whole craze that's taken over TikTok. I don't know if you've seen that, or what your thoughts are on that, but I think it's a much more glamorized way of saying like we should do as little to nothing as possible throughout our day.
I actually did a segment about that. I forget what that's called. There's a name for that though. With the TikTok trend you're talking about.
I think it's
You're
just
right.
soft life, soft living. I think that, I don't know, that's what I see.
Yeah. Well, I definitely, that isn't how I roll, but that doesn't mean it's, like, as we mentioned, the healthiest way to be. And it doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. And I think to your point, you have a very good point. I'm sort of an A personality, like type A, right? Alpha in general, which is technically more masculine, but that's not because I'm pretending to be that, or I'm trying to be that way because I want to excel in the business world. That's just my personality. So I don't want to mask that, just like I wouldn't want to mask, if I had those B sets, B traits or what have you, the beta, which is equally good. So I think that to answer your question, I'm busy, but that doesn't mean that I'm not empathetic. It doesn't mean that I don't take the time if an employee comes in here and has a problem to listen to them. It doesn't, I come in every morning, every day, every morning. I say hello to everybody. I ask how their weekends were. I actually genuinely sit and have a chit chat with them. It doesn't matter how busy I am. I definitely take the time to do all of that and get to know my employees, my clients, the folks I collaborate with. So I think just being mindful of the folks around you and, being a kind person and a good person is really where I'm going with it, as opposed to like being super busy and, always stacking up your calendar versus not.
No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, it's definitely, you see the shift through social media of like, now I listen, I think that there's extremes on both ends. There's the one end where it's been really glamorized to, like you said, like be that like overbearing, really overdoing masculine energy. And then there's on the other end where people are like, oh, if you're working so hard as a woman, like that's no good. And neither end is good. Neither end it makes any sense, really. It's ultimately what works for people. And I think there's so many ways to just embody who you are naturally. And if you are naturally kind, caring, and empathetic, but also naturally more busy, and you like to keep yourself going, then like, of course you can intertwine the two things.
Exactly. I mean, it's to whatever floats everyone's boat. I mean, for me, like historically, I've always been a busy person. Even in high school, I was like in a variety of activities. I was a good student. I think that just sort of those patterns set me up for my career. And then working in television news, I mean, it's just like nonstop, and you're always going against the gun and live shots and breaking news and all that kind of stuff. And so that sort of also kind of created that, I guess, like pattern in what I like with my profession, that I wanted to keep the pace of. I'm guessing. I'm like trying to like analyze myself psychologically now. Like, why do I stay busy? I also to flat out have a lot of interest, frankly. I mean, there's a lot of things that I would love to still do or have, wish I could do, and I won't be able to do. For one being, I'd love to be an orthodontist, which is so rare and random, right? But I love teeth. I'm obsessed with teeth. I think like putting braces on someone, you like make them like have more inner confidence, and everyone's happy there. They're walking out with like beautiful smiles. And so, I mean, but that's not, I'm not going back to, I'm not going to medical school. I'm not going to dental school. Like, I'm not doing that. But like, but that's like a genuine interest. I definitely think I would have been thrilled in that career, but there's only so many minutes in a day, and you do what you have to do to, fill it in, right?
I can't even believe that you said that because up until like literally that moment, I was thinking about your teeth the whole time because you have perfect teeth.
Oh,
Yeah. I'm like
thanks.
looking
Okay,
at your
I'm
teeth
obsessed
the
with
whole
you.
time. You have beautiful teeth. And I swear
Thank
that they
you.
were like taking my attention. I but then you said you love teeth.
Oh, you're
I'm like, that
sweet.
makes sense.
Thanks. I've always been upset, not just not mine, but like with people's teeth. I think it's like the first one of your first impressions. Like someone will smile. You have pretty teeth too, for the record. So
Oh,
yeah,
thank you.
you're welcome.
But yeah, that makes perfect sense. You have a lot of interests. And I think again, that also goes into the feminine energy of like from that feminine, you really do things from the heart. You do things that you want to do, that you love to do, not necessarily because you need to or have to. And I think that makes perfect sense for you to like say, I'm aligned in everything that I'm doing. Simply because I actually am interested in it and I actually enjoy it. With that all being said, you do a lot of things. Of course, you're a mom, you're juggling, running a successful business, you're writing books, and you're in grad school, all of the things that you mentioned, and then after grad school, you're gonna have something else. So, how important has prioritizing mental health and self-care really been for you to avoid going through like some serious burnout?
Yeah, that's a great question because it's obviously a serious thing and something that I work on with my coaching clients, to be honest with you, avoiding it basically. So for me personally, I will say a wake up call for me in regard to the importance of maintaining my own mental health, was during the pandemic. Like many people had sort of like an epiphany, right? I was, as many people were, very stressed at home with the kids, doing homeschool, trying to keep my business afloat, losing clients left and right because they were shut down and they couldn't, obviously they weren't doing business, so they could no longer support PR. And I was just trying to figure out how to keep everybody employed and, all the normal things everybody was dealing with. So I felt so anxious. I felt so much anxiety. And at the time I wasn't seeing a therapist or anything like that. So I knew meditation was healthy and I had tried it a couple times before, but I'm not really one. I'm like the person that gets the massage and their mind's still racing about all of the things that you have to do or want to do. And sometimes you have some really good business ideas, like getting that massage or taking a spinning class or something. But at any rate, I was in that moment, and I started meditating. I really just pushed myself to just do 10 minutes a day, and I did like guided meditation. And I also walked in the afternoon around my neighborhood just to get air and get like natural light and be outside and look at the sky and see the trees. And I did it without my phone, and I felt so much better. Like I really, really did. I felt a lot less anxious. I felt like much more, kind of like even keeled. And I mean, I st was still stressed, and all the world didn't change because I took a walk and did a 10-minute meditation. But the way I was able to cope and handle it, made me feel better. So I incorporate that, sort of practice as much as I can into my day to day. Not every day can I get up, and I've also found that meditating in the morning is better for me because I get it out and I set my baseline at a better level for stress, so that when I come to the office and things happen, which they inevitably will every single day, I'm able to react in a better from a better place as opposed to starting from a higher stress level of a baseline. But at any rate, not every day. Like today I couldn't. I had to take my kids to school out of the blue. Like one needed a ride, like because she has a PSA SAT tests and like never told me, like stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, you just cut into my meditation. But like, but you know, I do really try to at least do some things on a regular basis to try to keep my stress levels at a minimum whenever I can control it. And then I also do self-care. I mean, I before I shower, I like do dry brush on my skin. I like light a candle. I'm intuitive in the shower, like with my, I'm like just like I'm like you can meditate taking a shower, like and not meditating like oh, but like. Like you can like when you're doing the scrubs, just feel like the scrub on your skin, like feel the water, like observe it and feel it and be mindful about it. And then you'll be more relaxed if, when it time comes time to go to bed or go to work or whatever it may be. So there's lots of ways that you can incorporate self-care that's really much needed, without like carving out like 30 minutes a day out of your already jam-packed schedule. You can weave it into like your normal activities too. Which is what I
Yeah.
try to do.
So important. So important. I've experienced, that burnout phase, and it makes you want to do nothing. And that's because you didn't prioritize yourself in the midst of doing all the craziness. It was like work, 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 and nothing else. And then really no downtime or no me time, no self-care time. And so when you do hit that burnout phase, it's a lot. It's a lot to overcome. It's a lot to get through. And I think everything you just said is what I, after that, started shifting into doing so that this way, when you are busy and you are doing things, you still make those little windows and little pockets of time for yourself so that you really don't have to, get into a phase of being like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to work at all. That's a
No,
terrible
that's very
feeling.
unhealthy, and it can lead to other problems. It can lead to depression. It could lead to, general anxiety disorder, which is like an ongoing thing. And it's a lot of mental health is also, comorbid with like physical issues. So it can lead to like high blood pressure and heart disease and like a host of things. So it's very important that everybody listening do what we're saying, even if it's just like walking to the office or like don't do that, don't check your email. Like that's all. Look at the trees, like look at the cars on the street, and we're depending on where they are, like that kind of stuff. Just to try to keep your stressors as controlled as you can, because we can't control our environment, but we can control ourselves. So
Absolutely. Control the controllables. That's what I always say. Control what you
that's
can
good.
control, and that's it. Yeah. All of this leads to another thing that I've heard you talk about, which is compassion fatigue.
That's actually really like prominent now because of the world we're living in. People are already starting at a very stressed out version of themselves because of just, obviously the climate with the news and all of the negativity and the war certainly that is going on as we record this and stuff like that. And then so take that, right? And you're already like feeling a little bit like, oh, angst and so forth. And then you're on the phone with your friend and they just broke up with their boyfriend and you're like listening because you want to be a good friend and you want to, that's part of being a friend. And then maybe you're dealing with a coworker who is having a fight with their sister and then you're dealing with that, like listening to them and trying to like give them some advice or just be like a sounding board on, and then maybe you're talking to like your dad or your mom or whatever, and they're talking about something that's bothering them, and you're absorbing everybody else's drama. Okay. I mean, that's not a clinical term, but like for the purpose of this podcast, we'll call it that. And that's nice because you're being a good friend, sister, mother, daughter, whatever. But then you're like, oh my God, I'm exhausted, and these things aren't even happening to me. So it's basically setting boundaries, protecting yourself, being there, but also being mindful of your own boundaries and what you can withstand, and not being like the sponge to everybody and everybody that needs something from you. So it's much more like that could be a whole podcast in of itself, but it's much more involved than what we're saying, in that regard, in terms of just being there, so to speak, for a loved one that needs to talk to you, because it's something to be really mindful of, because that light burnout, it sort of creeps up, and then all of a sudden you feel very overwhelmed, depressed, anxious. And I think that's especially something people that have ongoing issues with a family member or a loved one going on. Like if someone, God forbid, is passing and like you're dealing with a lot of phone calls with your with a parent, or with maybe like a grandmom or a grandpa is, you know, that kind of thing. You need to obviously be there at your family member, but you need to also protect yourselves too. So that's just important in terms of like making sure you're being you know, cognizant of your boundaries and what you can handle emotionally.
Yeah. I mean, people don't realize that we absorb other people's energy. And this is when it also even comes to a point of possibly having to end some friendships or some relationships, because if it's bad energy and you're absorbing their energy, say that you have a friend, I could totally relate. Say that it's a friend who is constantly like in drama and they're always going to you about it. And it's not just like silly drama. It's like things that are just so beneath you at this point. Like, how do you always end up in these situations? You know, how are you always going through this nonsense and fighting with this one and that one? Like, it's so much for what for a person to absorb when someone else is, whether it's constantly victimizing themselves or just constantly in a really like a dark place of fighting and whatnot with other people and drama. And you know, when I say I relate, because I've had friendships like that where most of the time I felt like, actually, you're wrong. Like, and they're coming to me because they think I'm gonna say, you know, you're right, or I can't believe you hate that. And you have to let those friendships go because there's that fatigue that comes. And I think it's worse than hustle burnout. I think it's like
I
a
know.
compassion burnout of just, I can't keep talking to you about this. I can't keep listening to this. Like, you
I
are just
know.
that energy I'm absorbing from you is creating anxiety in my life that I don't even need to have. I don't need to have this anxiety. I don't need to feel this burden. I don't need to feel this way. It's your anxiety that you're just transferring over to me. And then after those treacherous phone calls, they feel better, like a
And then
weight
you
was
feel
lifted.
worse,
Yeah,
right?
they feel like a weight was lifted off their shoulders because they got to vent and they got to trauma dump and pile everything onto you. And now you leave feeling like you
I
just
know.
carried their
It's
burden
very
on them.
hard. It's very, very hard. And it's very difficult. People see that to be like, 'cause now I'm gonna, you know, I'm obviously in the process of becoming a therapist. Like, how are you going to handle that? I'm like, because it's different when you're a friend, and like you literally do absorb it. When
Yeah.
you're a therapist, you hold it in your hands for the person, but there's like that detachment. Like, you don't know a lot about, like, they don't know anything about you. They're not supposed to. And you only know about them what they share. So you don't, these aren't like your friends that you're not supposed to treat your friends. It's a totally different situation. So I say that because if, you know, they should talk to a therapist,
Yeah.
you know, if it's something that bothers them. And I know, and in regards to like, we all had that friend with that keeps going back to that bad guy and like that broken record story. Like, you know, it's the same thing, same thing. It's this vicious cycle. And it's like, how much can you handle of that? Or it's the friend that continues to take, like you were mentioning, and like, what are they giving, like, when you need it, you know? So it's very important that I always recommend doing this like twice a year. I call it cleaning house, right? Where you like do an edit, where you look at, like, you know, people in your lives that you can, you know, remove or push away, that aren't serving you. And, you know, you don't have to cut them off. You can love them from afar. You just don't need to like take on all of that negativity on a regular basis, because it's not good for you.
Yeah,
So.
you don't need to be their go-to phone call anymore. And just a sidebar, something that I tell my clients, you know, in regards to this specific dynamic, I always say how important communicating honestly is, because you say that that's your mission, that's your thing, is like, okay, I'm not going to cut this person out of my life altogether, but I'm no longer going to take these types of draining phone calls where they just like completely shit all over me during my day. Like, I'm just not going to do that. But then say that person calls them, they tell them, oh, I'm really busy, oh, I'll talk to you later, whatever, and then they just don't call them back. They start playing this like, you know, mixed signals game of like, it's going to make the other person ultimately want to know what's wrong or what's going on, because it feels like my friend is ghosting me, or she says that she's busy. She said that she'll call me back, but then she never does. I say you being that person is extremely important to be super honest, because then you could at least tell your friend instead of lying and saying, oh, I'm really busy. Let me, you know, talk about this later. Yeah, you just say, honestly, I really don't have the space for this right now. Like I have my own stuff going on. I really can't have this conversation. Like, this is like really weighing on me, you know, taking a toll on me, so on and so forth. And at least being honest with that person means you can keep a friendship. You just won't be that friend for them anymore. You just won't be the person that they go to in that way.
Because
then the thing is, if you say, oh, I'm busy right now, then they'll think, okay, then I'll call you later and tell you.
Or they're waiting by the phone for you to call them back. Yeah, no, 100%.
Want to tell you at all.
Exactly. That's more along the lines of the compassion fatigue and the boundary setting, as opposed to doing like the edit that I was mentioning, just to clarify. But yeah, 100%. It's very important. And it's very important to be honest.
Yeah.
It's hard for people pleasers like me to always be brutally honest.
Yeah.
You don't want to lie either, because then you're not doing anybody any favors, including yourself. So yeah.
I'm also curious, in this same kind of realm of a conversation, talking about the burnout. I think one of the biggest factors in burnout is the comparison game. Women often feel like they need to do more than someone else that they're seeing, or doing better than someone else that they're seeing. They see everyone around them as competitors rather than in a positive way. It really translates negatively, especially with social media. But would you say that there's a healthy version of this comparison or competition, instead of being super unhealthy or toxic when having that mindset?
Absolutely, Victoria. I actually talk a lot about that in my book. You don't need to be a bitch to be a boss, to be honest with you. I call it like competition versus like unhealthy competition versus healthy competition. So unhealthy competition, as you were describing, it can lead to some degree to, it can contribute to burnout. I think the main thing of burnout is truthfully like the work from home blurred line that we are dealing with right now in general. But it at any rate, yes, 100%. When people are like looking, like if they're running a race and you're kind of looking over at the other lane to see where the competitor is, like in their own race, you need to just obviously focus forward and look for the finish line yourself. But that's easier than said than done, especially with social media and all of the above. But so healthy versus unhealthy, I'll give you two comparisons. Okay. And I'll just use myself as an example. So I'm in PR, and I'm looking at a colleague who has a PR firm too. And I'm seeing, you know, she's doing all these fancy events, and she's got this big client, and she just did this TV segment, and all of these things. And I'm like, oh, I want to be like her. Why is this not happening to me? Why am I not getting those accolades? Why am I not doing that? Or you look at somebody like sets either the same experience as you, or maybe more, or not, or less, because that doesn't necessarily mean you can't be successful if you have less experience, and you feel some sort of like, I don't want to say praise, but you feel, I guess, a sense of pride for that person. But you also aspire to have all of those achievements or similar achievements to them. But you look at them more to like emulate them. You emulate them. You want to be like them. You don't want to, you're not mad at yourself. You're not kind of like putting yourself down and beating yourself up because you're not there today. You're saying, I could do that tomorrow. And you're trying to set your own goals to achieve similar conquests. I mean, it may not be exactly the same accolade. It may not be exactly the same segment. It may not be exactly the same client, but you're in that, I guess, space of, in that realm of whatever realm that they happen to be in that moment that you're hoping to get to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's more inspiration as opposed to negative feelings and like feeling like, you know, self-distraught and just like angry with yourself and putting yourself down. And like, is that horrific? And that's when we say, get off social media or view those profiles and stop doing that, because that's not going to make anybody any better. It's going to make yourself worse. It's going to like, you're not going to be focusing on your own business. You're like comparing. But if you're looking for inspiration, you know, for future hopeful gains, then that's a good thing.
I think that the whole unfollow thing is something you could throw into your edit when you're like getting rid of certain things. Like, all right, who else could I unfollow here?
Yeah.
I think that makes perfect sense. There's no harm in seeing someone that, you know, maybe quote unquote has what you want, and you say, okay, that's a goal for, you know, something I want to work on, as opposed to saying what she has means that I lack, you know, I want what she has, or that means
that's exactly
it's
right.
Not enough for me. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. I want to shift gears now, because we've talked a lot about feminine energy and mental health, of course, but mm-hmm. I want to see how you apply those to relationships as well. Aside from the workplace, you mentioned you had a divorce, you went through a divorce, you ended a 10-year marriage, and now you're in the new age of dating. So what is all of that like for you? What practices are you following in regards to your mental health, your self-care, your feminine energy, and whatnot?
Well, I want a boyfriend, let it be known and let it be said. I'm not settling, right? So I'm very happy. Not that I wasn't the first time I was single, but I'm much more mature and older and wiser and more life experience. And I have two kids that are obviously my priority right now. I have a 12 and a 15-year-old. But I do date. I'm definitely dating. I have been in a few relationships, nothing substantial in the sense that I'm didn't get engaged and get married and all of that. Yeah. But I have been in, so I've been divorced. It'll be 7 years. It'll be 8 years in June. So it's crazy, because now I feel like I'm almost as divorced as long as I've been married. But at any rate, I think I'm just more, I'm more selective. I don't want to say I'm picky, because I think that's kind of like not a nice way to put it, but I'm more selective because I am really happy with my life. I am very comfortable in my own skin. I'm independent. And not because I'm alpha. I've had to become independent because I don't have a life partner and, you know, all of that. And it's different when you're single the first time and you're doing things on your own, and then you go and you're in this like life commitment with somebody, and then you kind of like let your guard down in the sense where you like really like, you know, you share everything, like we had kids together, we had a house together, you know, finances, like all of that. I've always thankfully had my own business, and I'm very grateful for that, because that's sort of like, and I talk about that in the first book, it really helped me feel a little bit more independence and have the financial freedom to get divorced. So I have a lot of friends that I don't want to speak for them, but I would venture to say they probably would contemplate separating if they had a different financial dynamic with their husbands. But to that, I am more in tune with myself, and I know what I want. And if, you know, that person comes into my life and they're not presenting with the things that I think I deserve, or know I deserve, I should say, or, you know, what I'm looking for in a partner, then there's no room for them in my life. You know, I have a ton of friends, you know, really great, like girlfriends and guy friends too. And as I mentioned, my children and my businesses, and I'm full. I have my parents, I have a sister, like I feel very full. Whoever comes into my life, and I do want that, will be icing on my cake. It won't be like the eggs and the batter and all of the other things, if that answers your question.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it makes perfect sense. There's no reason to settle. And luckily, like you said, like you have your own life going for you. So you don't feel the need to, you don't feel like you have to settle. And I think a lot of people struggle in that area where they feel like they're just going to take what they can get. Maybe they've never given themselves the best of anything. Maybe they've never really like held themselves accountable to higher standards. And so that's why in relationships, they don't hold, you know, people mm-hmm. to higher standards.
And I'll say this, if I may, just for your listeners who might be not married yet, or, you know, they're still single and they're not in relationships. So this is like, it's just going to sound really mean, because I do love my ex-husband. I love him as a person. He's always going to be my family. We have a really good relationship as co-parents, and we're friends. And he'll always be my family, as I said. So it's to that. I would say I got married when I was 30, and I loved him, but I felt like it may not be right. There was I wasn't 100% sure that he was the quote one. And I think I was at an age where I wanted to have kids and I wanted to do things and I wanted a lot of things in that way. And so I don't want to say I settled because I was never like that, but I think I accepted more than I would now in that relationship, not even with him. It's just the type, we're just different. Right. So it's not that he did anything wrong, but I accepted more than I would today because I wanted X, Y, and Z. And now looking back, I do want to have another life partner. I do want all of those things, but whoever I end up with isn't, and it's okay, but they're not ever going to be the biological father to my children. We're never going to be like that original family unit. I'm never going to have that. I accept it. These were my choices. It's fine. But I would say, having known all of this, I would tell everybody listening to wait. If you're not 100% sure, wait, because even if you don't think that person's ever coming, they're going to come. They are eventually coming to you, and you'll have everything that you want with that person when the timing is right. And I know that sounds like a bunch of like nonsense because no one knows and no one has a crystal ball, but that would just be my advice for everybody listening.
Yeah.
Having, being a little bit older than maybe some of your listeners. Not too old.
No, of course not. No, it's completely valid. And I also wanted to ask you about something that has come about, and especially since you are becoming a therapist yourself, there's this newer trend of enrichment couples therapy that I think that you're familiar with. So what is this all about, and how important would you say that this is in relationships now?
This is a really growing area of couples therapy. It's awesome. And people embark on it, not necessarily when they're having a hiccup or a problem or it's spat, so to speak. It's something that they do like proactively. So when things do come up, they're coming from a place sort of like you protect yourself from burnout, but this is like a protector for relationships. You're coming to a place with a stronger foundation. So you come in and you just talk about whatever's going on like the week before, or if you go twice a month, like whatever has occurred, good and bad, and sort of work it all out. You learn more stronger skill sets with communication. Even though I am communicating, you are too, it sounds like, because you worked in PR, like communications, professional, when it comes to relationships and the day-to-day, that doesn't necessarily mean you're the best communicator. And believe it or not, the breakdown of all relationships, I shouldn't say all, the majority of relationships, whether it be an infidelity or what, finances or, neglect, it stems from communication. That is the root of, I'd say, probably 90-ish% of problems in relationships. So this is just a really great way that you can come in and talk to a therapist and sort of like flesh out the data, because we all have little issues. They all come up. And when you don't address them, when you do have a big issue, it could be a big problem. So
yeah.
And it's really good too, if I may just throw this in, for people before they get married, because when you're getting married, you get engaged, everything's great, planning your wedding, having the party, the honeymoon, everything's happy and, like blossoming and everything's great. But, you don't enrich when you're engaged, you talk about really bigger issues that could come up once you're married, like finances and working and like, what are you going to do with the kids and religious issues and whatever it may be. It's sort of a forum to have like an open conversation with basically someone that can kind of navigate that with you.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's a proactive approach instead of trying to fix something afterwards.
Right.
It's all about preventing it. It's a much more abundant way of looking at the relationship and looking at therapy. I think speaking for the couples that I know personally in my life, I think most of them are not interested in the idea of couples therapy because it sounds like, how is somebody else going to help us fix our problems? Which, to each their own, absolutely. But I think something like this would almost have those same exact people changing their minds around to see it as a much more like, no, this is not like, oh, we have these big problems that we need to work through. It's more like, let's scratch the surface a little bit on like better communication practices and just more fulfilling ways to be, you know, a couple and to be with each other, and also just like how to serve each other better as a better partner before getting to that point of needing to like fix things.
The point of no return or disarray. It's sort of like you go to the chiropractor to avoid a back problem. So you go to the therapist to avoid like relationship issues. And I think like in today's day and age, mental health is much more accepted and acceptable. And that I think that that takes some of the stigma, hopefully, away with what, you know, couples might feel like, oh, there's a problem and something's wrong with us if we have to go to a therapist kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is all like a stereotype or a stigma of of it meaning a bad thing per se, when it doesn't
exactly
have to be. And like you said, you know, this new day and age of dating and relationships and all that, everything is, you know, evolving and transforming and just changing in all different ways. And so now for you, as someone who has been married and has gone through a divorce and is now dating in this era, what are the biggest lessons that you've learned that you would want to share with the girls who may be in a situation like yours? Like, what would you like for them to prepare? What do you suggest for them to prepare for?
Well, my biggest lesson was just what I had shared a little bit earlier in regards to like not feeling like you're racing against a clock. Not that that's how I felt, but I think I had a little bit of that inside of me, in all honesty, looking back and reflecting and just being completely honest and authentic with you. But I think just, you know, being patient with the apps, I find them to be a challenge in the sense that it's very time consuming. So I think just like you're intentional with your career or whatever you goals you set out for yourself, you need to kind of make, you have to be somewhat intentional on, if you're doing the apps, you have to be somewhat intentional with the apps. And I would just kind of stick with one, because otherwise, you know, you're going to be kind of spreading yourself thin, and just make that, it doesn't necessarily have to be the same one all the time. Just like one at a time is kind of where I'm getting at. Cause some months, some are better than others. At least that's what I'm finding. Or maybe I've just gone through the good ones and then I'm stuck with the weeds. But at any rate, that would probably be my biggest piece of advice in dating, and just you know, loving yourself first. And I know that sounds really cheesy, but it's true. Like, you can't really give to somebody else until you're really happy with who you are and where you are and accepting of yourself too. So if that takes some time and you need to work on that, as we all need to from different, you know, stages in our lives, then I would say do that before you can like jump into the dating pool, because that's like the first step towards love, you know, loving yourself, obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The dating apps are rough. And I think exactly what you said is valid, and it's true. Fill up your own cup first before you're out.
Yeah.
You know,
are you single, Victoria? What's your dating?
No, I have a boyfriend.
Oh, good. That's good.
I was always single. I was single. I never had like a serious relationship. I had boyfriends when I was younger, but I was single really for 10 years until this year. Now I have a boyfriend.
And how did you guys meet?
It's actually a funny story. I mean, everyone on my social media knew I was single, just because I always was. I never posted a guy. I've always made it known that I was like, I was on apps sometimes. I would get set up, like I would go out with people and I would make little videos like, get ready with me for a date and whatnot. So everyone knew I was single. And so I was doing a Q&A on my story, like just answering questions. And someone had said something like, I don't even remember what the question exactly was, but it was something along the lines of, what are your values really in a relationship? And when I was talking and explaining, I had a girl who had just been following me for a few years, no one that I knew. I didn't follow her. She wrote to me and was like, I actually have someone that I feel like you really like would align with. Like, I know this is really random because,
oh my God, that's amazing.
Because like, you don't know.
That'd be my dream.
Yeah, like exactly. Yeah. And so I was like, oh God, of course I was a little nervous because this is a stranger. So it's not someone who knows me personally. They know me from social media.
Right.
You know, sometimes people tend to think of their guy friends as like, oh, but he's the best. And I'm like, he's actually the worst.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So he's from New York too, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's an awesome story.
I know, right? It's quite funny. Yeah. Whenever people ask, I'm like, it's almost as modern day romance can get, minus the app, because we didn't actually meet on an app, but we met through, you know,
through
social media.
That's cool. That's, it goes to show that there's obviously a lot of good social media can do too. Yeah. Aside from boosting people's careers and like whatever. I just mean like personally, because you get so much flack, like there's so much negativity around it and how unhealthy it is for people, especially younger people, like kids and things, but it's also good. It uses a lot of good. So yeah. That's good. That's an awesome story. Of course.
It's just like anything else in life. There's the good and the bad. And mm-hmm. You know, it really depends on, I always say social media is a tool. It depends on how you use it. You know, you can be someone who uses it for good and for their platform and their career and whatnot. Or you could be someone who has fake Instagram pages that shits on people all day and negative comments on people's pages. You know, it just depends on how you use the tool.
No, so, I know. It's funny. As you said that, I'm going to say this, you're probably going to think I'm like a psychopath. So as you're saying the tool, I'm like, it's like a knife. You can use it to cut an apple or you could just to stab someone in the back.
Perfect. Perfect right there. I love that explanation. It could be a butter knife or a butcher knife.
Or it could be like a butcher knife. I think I'm like thinking of like Jeffrey Dahmer. I was like learning about him from my
listen, it's Halloween.
One of my personality disorders.
It's Halloween vibes right now. All right.
Yeah, true. Halloween. That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks.
This conversation really was amazing. To sum it all up, between the feminine energy, the mental health, the career, the dating, whatever comes to your mind right now, do you have any last words on your heart to share with the girls?
I just think that you need to, everybody, and myself included, needs a friendly reminder just to be patient with yourself. You wake up one morning and you're not feeling like your best self, like that's okay. It just go with the flow. You don't have to be happy every second of your life. That's just not natural. Nobody is happy all the time. And just like, you know, the tide comes and goes, emotions come and go. So if you're in a bad place, this too shall pass. If you're really happy, unfortunately, that too is going to pass. You just need to be realistic about what our expectations are, and everything you see on our awesome social media isn't always like reality. So just stop comparing and just look at yourself in the mirror and focus on competing with who you see with every day, if you can.
It's so true. Thank you so much for that. This was so
Thanks
much
fun. Thanks for having me. It's so fun.
And that is all we have for today. Thank you, girls, so much for listening. Until next time, girls. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.